I want you to turn to Acts chapter 17. We'll read verses 10 through 12. The title of the sermon this morning is How to Walk in Victory and Freedom and Peace. Is there anybody that would like to walk in freedom and victory and peace? I'm going to just share some simple things this morning. We're going to read a number of verses, but I'm going to share simple things that will help you to walk in freedom and victory and peace. The people that do these things, they have that. The people that don't do these things, they struggle. Have you ever struggled in your Christian life? Anybody else want to be honest? Okay. All right. When I got... You know how I've given my testimony many times about being a drug dealer? Are you listening? Okay. We all started off as sinners, right? Is there anybody that was not a sinner? I like both the answers because they were both right. You know? Is there anybody that was not a sinner? I'm sorry. Are you listening? Is there anybody that was not a sinner? We're all sinners, right? Except for Jesus. That's right. Janai and Rick got that. Except for Jesus. Okay. Now, I want to tell you this, and then we're going to have a word of prayer, okay? The reason I tell you, one of the reasons I think God has me tell people that I was a drug dealer and whatever testimony that I give, is because, here, you can sit right here. One of the reasons that God has me do that is because God wants you to understand something, and that is this. We all start off as sinners. Now, see, we look at some people as worse sinners than others because of things that they do. But you know what? Every one of us is a sinner in our heart. In the book of Romans in chapter 7, it says, "In me that is in my flesh dwelleth no good thing." Romans 3:10 says, "As it is written, there is none righteous." No, not one. None of us are righteous. None of us are right. So a big revelation for me that helped me in my life, this is not part of my notes, just something I'm giving to you for free, and that's this. When I realized I am never right, God is always right. The only time that I'm right is when I'm in agreement with God, when God says I'm in agreement with Him, not when I think I'm in agreement with Him. For many years, I thought I was in agreement with God, and I was, but I had a wrong spirit of pride. Because as I read this book so many times, as I memorized it, as I tried to follow it, my heart on the one hand wanted to follow God. Have you noticed in your Christian life that you struggle with a number of things? Have you noticed that? Okay. No. I'm not talking about people. I'm talking about you. I'm talking about you in your Christian life. You struggle with things. God said, on the one hand, you want to love God. On the other hand, you find yourself loving yourself and thinking about yourself. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay? Good. Those that raise their hands, you're going to get victory today. Okay? Watch what I'm trying to say. In our lives, there's a lot of paradoxes. There's a lot of seemingly, when you first look at it, I'm going to call it contradictions, but they're not. They're just contradictions in our mind. Okay? There's a lot of things that we may want with God, but then we live a different way. We want to do what's right, but then we don't do what's right. Do you follow me? It's like, I love my wife. I want everything to go good. But then there's the everyday life where sometimes I'm selfish or proud or whatever it is, and everything doesn't go good. You follow me? We don't live in a fairy tale. I'm talking about real life, how we live. One of the reasons I tell you that where Jesus found me was as a drug dealer was because Jesus scraped me out of the gutter. He found me in a gutter, and he said, "Harvey, I love you so much, I don't want to leave you there." He says, I'm going to deliver you. I'm going to pick you up out of that gutter when nobody else wanted me. Nobody else knew what to do with me. I didn't know what to do with myself. That's why I did drugs, to escape what was going on. So I did that, and that's where Jesus found me. Well, one thing that I did when I got saved, when I met Jesus, and Jesus came to live inside of me, His Holy Spirit, and He got me in church. There's just simple things. And if you just, I'll give you this. This isn't in my notes either for today, but I'm going to give this to you. Three things that if they're in your life, you'll be successful. If you do not have these three things or any one of these in your life, you will lack success. I don't care what the world says. I'm talking about what God says. I'm talking about being successful with God. One is you need the Word of God in your life. It is, Jesus said, man shall not live. You can exist, but man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. We need to be looking at this Word. We need to be reading it every day. We need to be meditating on it. We need to be letting it dwell in us. If you don't have a desire, maybe you need to take your spiritual pulse. Maybe you don't know Jesus yet. Maybe you just are somebody that is after God. You've made choices that you're going to go to church and be a Christian, but you don't know God yet. You know about Him, but you don't know Him. Because when you know Him, it's like a newborn baby. You don't have to talk them into feeting. Those little dudes just start screaming right away. They want to eat. It's a natural thing. When you become alive spiritually, you're going to have a spiritual thirst, a spiritual hunger. Number one, you need the Word of God. Number two, you need to let God talk to you every day. Little Crystal just got baptized recently because I believe she just got saved recently. And I was praying for the church and God kept bringing up Crystal to me. And it's like, what I want to do is every week, I want to just be able to, when I see her, I want to just be able to speak some things into her that will help to disciple her. Just simple little things. I told her this morning to talk. I said, do you tell Jesus that you love Him? I said, do you do it every day? She goes, no, not every day. And I go, that's okay. I said, but let me give you some ideas. And I just started talking to her, just real simple, you know, about telling Jesus you love Him every day. I said, wake up in the morning and say, good morning, God. How you doing? What do you think? You think He might like that? What do you think? Do you like that? Or do you just like when you wake up in the morning and you walk by people and they just don't look at you? They just go on doing what they're doing? Or do you want them to include you in their lives? Okay, you know, God, there's too much interaction here. Okay, wait a minute. This is not what I meant. Look, I am not a morning person either. I wake up in the morning. I told you, I don't really wake up. I'm resurrected. And I get up. Sue's already been up for 2 or 3 hours. So I get up, and here's little Miss Magpie, who's already spent time with God. Let me tell you what God told you. Okay, just give me like an hour to get the cobwebs out of my head. That's what the young lady back here said to me this morning. I walk up to her. How you doing? She goes, good. I hope I can wake up. I'm trying to wake up. And I'm like, I understand. You know, that's how I am in the morning. I'm not talking about being a morning person. I'm talking about when you get going in your day, don't you want people to start talking to you? I'm talking about once you can handle it. Okay? I'm not talking about all those little, you know, chipmunks start talking to you right away, those little kids. Okay? I'm talking about, don't you want other people to include you in their life? Well, so does God. So I tell people, okay, so the three things. Well, let's see, we've got to go back to that. Okay, read the Word, let God talk to you. You need to pray. Talk to God about everything in your life. Talk to Him about what's on your heart. What is it? It's not just Emelina. It's Sadik. I mean, for crying out loud. It's everybody. It's brothers, sisters, where you got to work, where you got to go, gas prices, I mean, groceries, you know, cooking, burning food, washing dishes, whatever it is. Talk to Him about whatever is going on in your life. Talk to Him. Bring Him and give it to Him. He cares about you. He wants to help you with your everyday life. And the third thing is you need to be in God's house. You need to be planted. You need to be associating with believers. I meet believers all the time, and when I start talking to them, I call them HLBs, hungry little birds for Jesus, because they're just starving. They want to hear everything I'm saying, and they don't want me to quit. After a while, they probably do, because I'll probably OD them, but they want to keep hearing what I have to say. You see, if you go someplace and you're not hearing the Word of God, you're going someplace and you're just going through the motions, just because they call it the house of God doesn't mean that necessarily God's able to do what He wants to do there. And they're not getting their needs met. We've all gone through the motions. You know, go to church, stand, sit, kneel, sing, listen, pull out a little kneel bench, repeat out the priest, stand, sit, kneel, sing, go home. Try to, you know, go to just doing the church thing. I'm talking about having a real relationship. If you hang out with people that are lukewarm toward God, you're going to be lukewarm. If you hang out with people that are red hot for Jesus, you have a chance of getting red hot. When I used to preach around the country, people would ask me, how do you stay red hot for Jesus? I said, if you want to stay red hot, you have to stay in the fire. That means you got to stay in the fire of His presence. It means you got to stay in the fire of what He's doing. Not try to get Him to come bless what you're doing. Find out what He's doing. What are you doing today, God? I want to get in on that. A couple of times in my life, He's told me, Harvey, I want you to cancel your appointments today because I want to go do something with you. I'm like, check it out. I like this. So I just start calling people and canceling my day and say, what do you want to do, God? And then we just go hang out together. We do whatever He wants to do. But every day I ask Him, what do you want to do? And normally He says to me, let's do some tubs. I'm like, okay, we're going to tubs again, you know. But it's like, whatever God's wanting to do. Let's do dishes. Let's do laundry. Let's do grocery shopping. Whatever it is, see, God knows what you need. I tell people, I'm coming back to something. I tell people I was a drug dealer because I want you to understand where God found me and where I started. Where did you start? Where did you start? Well, I'm not so bad. I wasn't a drug dealer. What were you? We'll get into that. Okay. What were you? Where were you? Okay. In your life when Jesus found you. You see, today we could start all over. There's a day when you meet Jesus. He calls it being born again because it's like getting to start all over with your life. Up until I was 20, I lived B.C. In other words, I had before Christ was in my life, B.C. And then when I met Him, July 1st, 1976, I entered into A.D., which means in Latin, Anno Domini, which means the year of the Lord. That's when I met Him and my life changed. B.C., before Christ. A.D., year of the Lord. Now I start walking with God and I learn how to walk with Him. That is what we're talking about. How to walk with God. Father, I'm committing this time into Your hands. I'm asking that You would help us right now. Each one of us wants to ask You, prepare my heart to hear. Help me to receive so that I can fulfill what's inside of me. I want to walk with You. I want to live, walk in victory. I want to walk in freedom. Lord, teach me how. Help me to hear today like I've never heard before. Thank You, Jesus. Acts 17:10-12. And the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogue of the Jews. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the Scriptures daily whether those things were so. Therefore, many of them believed, also of honorable women which were Greeks, and of men not a few. Therefore, many of them believed. How do we walk in victory, freedom, and peace? I'm going to give a few things right up front that I've said, but I just feel like God wants me to say them again, so I'm going to. Number one, if I was just given an outline of these things, this is not my message today, but they're just things that are in the preface. Is that what it's called? In that little part in the beginning before they give you the outline. You ready? Okay. Number one, when you come to church, we need to be open. We need to be open. Number two, we need to come expecting. What do you expect? I expect a cup of coffee. Is that what you expect? Then maybe you get a cup of coffee and you go home and you just had a cup of coffee. You need to come expecting Jesus. I come to meet with Jesus. Is that what you want? Yes? That's what I want. I want to meet with Jesus. I like it. Good. That's a Carhartt? Looks good. All right. Number three, be a participant. Get involved with what's going on. Don't just be a spectator. Bring a notebook. I had that on here somewhere. Bring your Bible. Bring a notebook. Bring a pen. Write stuff down. You hear verses, write them down. You hear a thought that sticks out to you, don't worry about if I keep talking. That one thought stuck out to you, write it down. If you get that thought and that works in your life, it doesn't matter if you got all of it. You're going to get what you need. Do you understand? You're going to get what you need. So if something sticks out to you, write it down. Be a participant. These kids that are taking up offering, they're a participant. They're participating. If you gave when we passed that today, you're a participant. If you listen on purpose while we're talking, you're a participant. If you just say, hey, what can I do around here? I want to help. I want to be a volunteer. I want to work with kids, whatever. You're a participant. Be a participant. We are supposed to be the body of Christ. If your body, if one part of your body doesn't work, if the leg doesn't work and you're dragging it with you, we had a man that used to come to our church when we started our first church down in Texas. And what I loved about Alan was he loved God, but his right side was paralyzed. And he was a tall black man about this big, and he would come to church and he had to drag his right side was paralyzed. But that man was a participant. When I went out talking to people about Jesus door to door, he said, can I go with you? And he went with me. When we had to set up chairs and stuff, he jumped right in. I didn't have to say, Alan, would you help us set up chairs? He just jumped in. At the end of the day of church, we would tear down the chairs and set them over to the side because we had church in our house. And he would help us to do that. They would clean up after the get-togethers, whatever you call them, where you had food and coffee and stuff. He was a participant. And then, one of the biggest things, make a decision with what you hear. When you're listening and you're hearing something, make a decision with it. Yes, I want that. God, work that inside of me. Teach me how to live that. I don't just want to hear it. I don't want to just be a hearer and a forgetful hearer. I want to be a doer. I don't want to just hear it now and I get stirred and then when I leave I can't remember what went on. Commit it to God as soon as it comes to you. Yes, sir? That's it. Good. Listen and do. That's what he basically said. All right. So good. Now I can get past that. Thank you, Jesus. Okay? I'm supposed to read these too. Get a good night's sleep. Set the meeting time apart. Make it holy. This is a meeting time with God. Make it holy. God did. Let us make it holy in our heart. You remember when you were a teenager and you thought you loved somebody, but they didn't even know you were alive? Anybody know what I'm talking about? Okay? Yeah, I know. Puppy love leads to a dog's life. But I'm not, do a lot of barking. But, we all have. Okay? Now, my point is this, okay? God, see, what that was a one-sided relationship. God sometimes has a one-sided relationship with us. He makes this time holy. It's precious to God. But we don't make it precious. We just come in, we drag in, we get up right before we come, we're tired, we're not prepared, we don't bring our Bible, you know, you see what I'm saying? We come in, it's like, where's the coffee? And that's what we're coming for. Are you with me? We're just coming. God is like after your heart. He wants all of you. He wants this desperate, each other needing each other relationship with you. Now these two have been married 52 years. Right?
Right.
52 years. Now, they've had to work at it. Because it's one of the hardest things you ever do in life is work at a marriage. Okay? Because God has this sense of humor. He makes them a male and female. And then He says, now get along. I'm like, right? How are you supposed to do that, Lord? And He says, not without me. Because it's a matter of giving. You see, we want to enter into it taking. And when you do that, it don't work. So you have to end up giving. When we go to marry people, we tell people, marriage is not 50-50. It's a 0-100. You expect zero and you give 100. Anything you get's a bonus. If you have expectation in the person, you're going to be let down. Right? You put your expectation in God and you watch Him show up. Okay? So set the meeting time apart. When it's time to be here, set that apart. Make it holy. Okay? Come expecting to meet with your God. Bring your Bible, notebook, and pen. Be open, ready to receive. Get empty before coming. We're going to talk about that. And then confess your sin. Get your forgiveness. Get in right standing with your God so there's open communication with Jesus. That's what we're going to talk about today. I get saved. I'm a drug dealer. I've had a lot of sin in my life. The way I used to say it is, or the way I still say it is, if you look in the old dictionaries on the word sinner, it said C. Harvey. I've done it. If it could be done wrong, I've done it. And so I meet Jesus, and I was just so amazed that God wanted me. Do you know that God wants you? Do you? God wants you. That's where they got that sign. You know, Uncle Sam wants you. Well, they got it from God wants you. He wants you. He wants you as an individual. I tell this to people almost every day. God has me say this to people on the phone. Do you know that you, and people every day say, oh, every time I tell people this on the phone, they have some sigh, some amazement that I said this. You are the delight of Jesus' heart, and you are the desire of His soul. Can you say that about yourself? I am the delight of Jesus' heart and the desire of His soul. You see, I want you to know, I don't care where you started or where you're at right now, Jesus is after you. He wants you. It could be a one-sided relationship where He wants you and you don't even know He's alive. You're not giving Him the time of day. Or maybe you do something like you go to church, but it's like, okay, I showed up. I did all my part. I showed up. But you're not really into it. It's not really what's in your heart. Okay, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that. Okay? So I get saved, and I'm like, I can't even believe it. You want me. You want me. Right? But what about all those things I did? And He said, Harvey, and we're going to give a bunch of verses on that today. He said, Harvey, did you come to me and ask me to forgive you? And I said, yes, I did. He said, I forgave you. He said, the reason I could forgive you was because I prepared myself a body. I took your sin. Father, Treat me as if I'm Harvey. Give me what Harvey deserves. And my sin killed him. They took his body. They buried it. 3 days later, while his body's laying in the ground, in spirit, Jesus, because he's not a body, he just had a body, in spirit he stood before the Father and said, Father, is my death enough for Harvey? Will that pay? What I went through, will that pay for all of Harvey's sins? And Father said, I took all of Harvey's sins, past, present, and future, and I put them all on you, Jesus. That's why you had to die like you did. Harvey's sin killed you. So he said, guess what? He said, so is my death enough for Harvey's, to pay for all of Harvey's sins? And the Father said, Jesus, what you did is enough. What you did will pay for his sin in full. Now, God comes to me and says, while I'm a drug dealer, not while I'm straightened up, not while I'm reading my Bible, not while I'm doing good, while I'm totally selfish, living for sin and the devil. I was one of his big disciples. And God came to me and said, now, here's the truth. I love you. I created you in my image. I want you for myself. But there's something between us. And it's called sin. So I prepared myself a body, left heaven, came down here, lived perfectly. At the age 33, I died on that cross in your place. And I want to offer you, right now, forgiveness. I'm willing to forgive you. I'm willing to pardon you. Not send you to prison, the prison of hell forever. I'm willing to pardon you, forgive you, cleanse you, wash you, start all over. I will even come and live inside of you. And beyond that, I'm going to adopt you as my child. And you're going to become a little Christian. You want to get in on that? And I'm like, yeah! And I accepted Christ as my Savior. And I was born again. And I met Jesus. I met God. After that, I'm going, I finally got in church. I didn't do everything right because it took me 10 months to get in church. It's a long story, but it took me 10 months to get in church. I didn't do everything right. I did a lot of stuff wrong after I met Jesus. And then I got in church, and like Brian said, when we were praying over here right before he got baptized, we were praying for the church service this morning, and Brian was like, God, I just think you're wonderful. And you know, I just want to give you my life. I just want to do anything you want. What do you want? You see, that's telling me what's in his heart. That's what I was seeing, what was in his heart. That is where people are when they want to get baptized, because they want to follow God. They want to surrender to his lordship. They want to follow him. I came to God. I got 10 months later when I got in church. I got in church and the preacher said, you need to get baptized. Showed it to me in the Bible. It follows salvation. I had not done it after salvation. I said, I want to do it. It didn't matter that I'd done it 6 times before because it wasn't according to the Bible. It was just according to religion. What does this word have to say? This is the key to your life. What does this word have to say about what you're thinking? What does this word have to say about your decisions? What does this word have to say? That is what's truth. We're going to stand before God. It's His word He gave us. It doesn't matter what people say. If I tell you something and it's not in this word, don't you follow me. I'm wrong. You follow this. You got what I'm saying? So I got in church, but man, I was proud, selfish, dictatorial, pushy, obnoxious. I mean, you name it, I was probably it. I did it wrong. I had bad attitudes. I love Jesus, but it's like somebody said earlier, It's just for the people. You know, if the people weren't around, I could be doing just fine. But it was the people, you know. They get on my nerves. Because they don't. It's like when I'm driving down the road. I tell them, I let you drive on my street. Why don't you get out of the way? I'm being honest here. Now, you just sit back and act like you don't ever do that. You're fine. Okay? That's right. I've had to cool down on that. I don't ride people's bumpers anymore and honk and wave things at them. I don't do that anymore, you know. So what happened was, see, you've heard everything I've said up till now. You've heard it before. You heard it before? Have you heard this before? Watch. I'm not talking about my testimony. I'm talking about Jesus dying on the cross for you, paying for your sin. Have you heard that before? But guess what? Many of you, if not most of you, live under the burden of sin. I bring up sin or confessing, you ought to see your faces. Oh my word, you'd think I just held up a scary picture in front of you. You draw back into fear. I'm trying to help set you free. Turn over to 1 John. I'm sorry. What's the first? Let's read the first. Let's do it in order. What's the first one? Whoever. You got that set up? Yep, we did that. So what's the next one? Matthew 12:31. Matthew 12:31.
Matthew 12:31. Wherefore I say unto you, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men, but the blasphemy against the Holy Ghost shall not be forgiven unto men.
Look at those first few words. Wherefore I say unto you, Jesus says, all manner of sin and blasphemy shall be forgiven unto men. There is not a sin. Have you ever talked to somebody and they said, well, my sin is too great for God to forgive? Can't ask questions right now. Write them down. You need a pen? Write them down. I know, but we can talk afterwards. But I can't keep stopping because I got to stay on track, okay? Because I'm already long enough as it is. Matthew 12:31. Jesus forgives all kind of sin. And I want to hear whatever it is, but I can't hear it right now. Okay? Matthew 12:31. Jesus forgives all kind of sin. There is not a sin you have done or thought of that He won't forgive if you bring it to Him His way. Okay? Which is, God, I sinned. I did wrong. Not like, oh, will you just, like we can just brush this under the rug? And that's where we got to deal with this today. Okay? We'll get there. Okay, what's the next verse?
1 John chapter 1.
1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Can you turn there? Back toward Revelation. 1 John chapter 1, verses 1 through 10. Go ahead.
That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father, and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full.
Let's stop there for a second. I want you to notice in the first four verses that John here is saying, this is what we've experienced. And what we've experienced is intimacy with the Word of God, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh. We have experienced intimacy, hanging out. We know Him. We've touched Him. He's touched us. We've heard Him. We've seen Him. And He says, so we're telling you these things because we've already experienced them. And we want you to experience them. Verse 4, why? that your joy may be full. That you could live in joy, peace, victory, freedom! That's where God wants us to live. So God works it with some and then says, now, go tell others to bring them in. Bring them in. Go ahead, please, brother. Verse 5.
This, then, is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all.
Okay. I'm sorry. I got to interrupt. Okay. God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. That means if we want to walk with God, what do we need to walk in?
Light.
Okay. We don't have to go there. Keep going. Can't wait.
If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth.
Okay, did you get that? Some people walk in light and some people walk in darkness. The ones that are going to walk with God, what do they got to walk in? But if we're not walking in light, we're walking in
darkness.
And if we think we're walking with God when we're walking in darkness, it's a lie. Okay. Go ahead.
But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin.
See, it's talking about walking. Walking is an ongoing thing. It's not called the Christian arrival. It's called the Christian walk. Because you keep walking. Now, when you're walking with God, do you ever fall? Yes. So when you fall, what do? Now watch up here, okay? I'm walking with God, and I fall. I mess up. Oh, I messed up. What should I do? What happens? Well, before I get up, you know what I ought to do? I ought to fess up. I ought to confess while I'm down here. God, I messed up. Because I can't even get up until I confess. Because if I try to get up and just say, oh, well, He already paid for that, it's like you're taking it for granted. Do you hear what I'm saying? We're taking it for granted if we just try to get up and just say, okay, I won't do that again. It's not you not doing it again. It's you saying, Jesus, I did it! Please forgive me. I hurt you. It's this sin I just did. This proud thought, this angry word, this attitude that I had, this cold-heartedness, this control, whatever it is. And I messed up. Jesus, it is a truth. I did it. Please forgive me. Because that sin drove this nail into your hand. Do you understand? Do you understand? What I did caused His death. What I did caused His pain. Jesus, and see, that's why people start going like this. They don't want to look. You know why? Because it's like you feel shame. Good. Then tell God, I'm sorry. I did that. That's what was in my heart. That's what came out in my life. God, I'm sorry. Because what I did hurt You. Jesus, You are so loving and so kind. You, when I was doing wrong, in the midst of doing wrong, You said, I am going to go and pay for your sin, because I don't want You to pay for it. And I'm going to come and I'm going to bring My blood where You can be forgiven. Folks, when we mess up, we need to confess. When we sin, we need to confess. When we find ourselves in a bad attitude, we need to confess. When we have stinking thinking, We need to confess. God, it's true. I don't want it. I don't want to live like that. I want to live like you. You're holy and beautiful and you're pure and you're kind. And any time I get around you, it's like, you know that feel good? You come here and it's like you feel all good all under. I want to live there, Lord. So I've got like 100 things on me that are wrong. Every time one of them comes up, God, I'm bringing it to you. Will you forgive me? He said, yes. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to cleanse you also. I'm going to begin to deal with you and show you where it's coming from so we can get that out of you so you can live where you want to live, which is close to me. Is that what you want? Is that what you want? This is how we're going to get there. Go ahead, brother. Verse 8.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar and His word is not in us.
He keeps saying a positive and then a negative, a positive and then a negative. And he says that because he's telling us the truth, but he doesn't want us to just take it for granted. He wants us to realize it cost him his life. It cost him separation of the Father and the Son, had to be separated, come to this earth, go through living on this earth like we do, and then go through the cross where he didn't just die, but by going to the cross, what ended up happening when he went to the cross was he was separated from his God. Remember when Jesus on the cross said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He said that because our sin on Jesus separated him from fellowship with the Father. That means he and the Father's fellowship was broken because of our sin. He said that for our sakes. He said that so when we read the Scripture, we would ask ourselves, why did Jesus say that? Somebody just called me recently. Why did Jesus say that? That's why Jesus said that. That's right. He loved us. And He was doing everything so we could have right relationship with Him and we could have peace within ourselves. That's where I want you to live. That's where you want to live. You want to have peace within yourself. Well, the way to have peace within yourself is to have peace with God. That word confess. If we confess our sin, I want you to listen. It means to agree. It means to proclaim. Now listen to this. It means to agree with the charges against us without excuse. Agree with the charges against us without excuse. That's what that word confess means. Agree with the charges against us without excuse. Not, well, I raped that girl because, you know, she wasn't wearing enough clothes to make a good eye patch, you know. No, I raped that girl, I was wrong. I was mean and selfish, but he did this. No. It doesn't matter what he did. You still had a choice. People did all those things to Jesus. He didn't act that way. We do that because of sin in our heart. God, I don't want sin in my heart. I want Jesus to live in me. Yes? I only want Jesus living in me. Remember? Okay? I only want Jesus. So God, but I don't just have Jesus in me. So the things that's not of Jesus, when you bring it to my attention, I want to confess it. Break agreement with it. God, I don't want that in my life anymore. And then I invite you to do whatever it takes to remove that out of me so it doesn't ever happen again. Does that make sense? Are you with me? Jesus, how am I supposed to do all these verses? I'm going to stop right there. I'm going to pick this up next week. I want you to know something. God loves you. But He loves you knowing what's inside of you. I told you he found me as a drug dealer. Nobody else wanted me, but Jesus said, I see the real Harvey before the corruption. I see the real Harvey when I clean him up and how he's going to love me. And he said, I want you, Harvey. And he came after me and he pursued me. When I met Sue, she had been hurt in her life by a number of people, and she was kind of like a prickly pear. You know what I'm saying? We were walking through the woods yesterday looking for a deer that I shot. Finally got to shoot one with a bow. It was pretty cool. And so we were looking for this deer, and we were walking, and there was this bush that had these stickers, thorns. Oh, my word. Sue was like that when I met her. She had been hurt by people, so she was like standoffish, okay? And you know what? But God put in me, he wanted me to marry her. So I just pursued her. She said, no, I don't want to date you. I said, it's okay. I'm just going to keep coming after you. She goes, well, I want you to know, after a little bit, she goes, I want you to know I'm not ever going to date you. And I just looked right at her and I said, you don't have to date me. You're going to marry me. She says, you're crazy. And I said, yes, and that has nothing to do with it. We're still going to get married. And so she goes, you're pushy. And I said, yes, I am, and we're still going to get married. And it was like, I just pursued her. And see, that's what God is doing with you. He's pursuing you. But you have a choice. You don't have to have a relationship. She tried to run. She says, I'm going to leave. It didn't do her any good. God wanted us to get together. Now, she's really glad now. She had to go through a lot of stuff, I'm sure, to get to the glad part. But she tells me she's really glad now. And it helped her life and blah, blah, blah. We've been married 35 years. That's great. But I'm saying I pursued her. Well, God is pursuing you. But you know what? You have a free will. You get to make your own choice. God, you can come this far, but no further. Okay, you can come this far. Oh, you can't deal with that area in my life. Oh, we're not going to talk about that. And God's like, guess what? I can outweigh you. I'll just outweigh you. He's like, I'm after you, and I'm light. And for us to have relationship, you got to be willing to walk in light. And light exposes. You want to hide something? Turn the lights off. But when you turn the lights back on, it's still there. Now we get to choose, am I going to live in the light or live in darkness? We get to choose. God is not going to quit loving you. But you know, I've said this before, I got to say it just because I want you to understand, because it applies to some people in this room. God loves every single person that's in hell. He pursued them, but they made an eternal choice against him. I've told you this story. I'm going to tell it to you like this. I went to a man's house. He called me and asked me to come to his house and fix his bathtub. I went to his house. I walked in his house. God said something to me about him. He said he's a damaged veteran as soon as I walked in. And it was so clear, God talking. I thought he said it out loud. And I went, God, why'd you say that right here? He goes, he didn't say anything. So I walk in the bathroom and I said, show me the problem. The man took me in there, showed me his bathtub. And I said, would you give me a few minutes and let me figure it out? So the man walked out. I got on my knees and I said, Jesus, I need you to show me how to fix this one. And by the way, I want you to open the door so I could talk to this man about Jesus. And clearly God said to me, you can't talk to him about me. I said, what? He said, you cannot talk to him about me because he has already made an eternal choice that he does not want me. I said, but God, that means he's on his way to... I started to say hell, and God said, that's right. He's on his way to hell. And I said, why did you bring me here? And I'll never forget it. God says, because I just want you to love Him. I just want you to love Him. God's love never stops. Somebody tells God, I don't want you. You hurt me. You know, they yell at God, mad at God, blame God for everything. That's only because they don't know God. Or they're immature in their love, in their knowing of God. Because that's not my God. People are normally mad at God when they're fighting themselves, surrendering to God's way. People are normally mad at God when they're fighting God because God wants them, is working in their life, and they're not cooperating with it. They're fighting God. So then they blame God. It's like kids blaming their parents. Why don't you just give me my way? Let me just have everything my way. That's not good for you, little kid, so I'm not going to do that. You can get mad at me. Okay. Not going to change. God loved that man. And he said, that man is going to hell. He didn't say that man might go to hell. He didn't say that man could go to hell. He said, I said, God, that means he's on his way to, and he said, that's right, he's on his way to hell. Why did you send me here? Because he said, you can't talk to him. Why did you send me here? He said, I just want you to love him. I just want you to let me guide him. Do you understand? Accept that person. Try to overwhelm him with his love. I've heard of people right on their deathbed, God is sending people to love them, and they've rejected Christ their whole life. And right on their deathbed. Why do you think I've told you that I've led pimps and prostitutes and pushers and druggies and drunks and policemen and presidents of corporations and two professional hitmen to Jesus? How do you think that happened? You think they were like lovely people that, I just like having them in my life, this hitman who's telling me he's going to kill me? People grabbing me by the neck, pulling their hand back, I'm going to smash you because you're talking to me about Jesus? And I just look at them because God put it in my heart and I said, I love you and you can't beat it out of me. And they didn't know what to do. And a number of them got saved. God loves you. He doesn't love you when you do good. He doesn't love you when you are doing everything right. He loves you all the time. He doesn't like what your choices are, but He loves you. And He's after you. And He wants you. And He's going to pursue you. And He won't give up. He won't quit. That's why Sue married me. Because in that way, I'm like God. I won't quit. I'm going to love you. Because God loves you. And He shows me what you are, who you were created to be. And I'm going to keep loving you. Even if you make the wrong choices, even if you give me those looks, even if you put your hands up to me, I'm just going to keep loving you. I love it. I don't know how anybody can't come to Jesus. I just don't know how, man. I can't resist His love myself. I want you this week, I want you to read 1 John chapter 1. There's 10 verses. I want you to read it every day. I want you to meditate on it. I want you to ask yourself when you read each verse, is this in my life? Do I want this in my life? And then ask God, God, help me get this in my life. 1 John chapter 1. You got it. 1 John chapter 1. There's only 10 verses. 10 verses. Okay? The whole thing. I can't believe I ate the whole thing. It looks like me. Okay. How do we walk in freedom and victory and peace? One of the ways is we need to confess our sin. I wanted to get to one more passage. Who's got Exodus chapter 12, those verses? Let's read that and then we'll be done, okay? Exodus chapter 12, where are we? In verses, you know the verses. Who's got it? Exodus chapter 12, verses 2 and 3. 5 through 8 and 12 and 13. Exodus. So Genesis, Exodus, chapter 12.
Exodus 12, verse 2. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months.
It's like starting over.
It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. Verse 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take of the blood, and strike it on the two side posts, and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire, and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Verse 12. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt.
When I see the blood, when I see the blood, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. When you mess up, when you sin, come and bring God the blood of Jesus. Jesus died for me. I'm sorry, Jesus, that I caused your death. I'm sorry that I hurt you. I'm sorry that it was my sin that caused that crown of thorns in your head and for you to be rejected of people and spit on and blasphemed and mocked. I'm sorry that I did that to you, Jesus. Will you please forgive me? And he says, are you trusting in my blood? Yes. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. That's what I talked about. One of the things I talked about, little Crystal this morning. Just, I told her, she's 4 or 5 years old. Five years old. And that was one of the things God had me say to her this morning. Just tell Jesus, Jesus, I'm glad. I'm thankful that you died for me. And God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. He said, my judgment will not fall because my judgment already fell on Jesus for you. But don't take it for granted. Thank Him. Praise Him. Do you see how it would make you love Him more? Every time you mess up. Well, I've messed up so many times that when I just came every time, I'm like walking through life. And I mess up. I fall down. I confess. I get back up. I make it about a step or two and I mess up again. So then I pray and confess. And Jesus, thank you for dying for me. And I get up and I make about a step or two and then I fall down again. Oh God, I did it again. I'm full of pride and control and anger and hate and selfishness and lust and whatever it is. Do you understand? And I had to be on my knees so many times. And I just kept telling them, thank you, Jesus. Thank you that you never give up on me. Thank you that you died for me. Thank you for your blood. Thank you for caring for me. Thank you, Jesus. Do you want to live in victory? Do you want to live in... Do you sin? Do you sin? No, wait a minute. I want to see. I just want to see. Do you sin? Because if you don't raise your hand. But if you sin, raise your hand for a second. I don't think I see a hand not up. Oh, maybe I see. Oh, that's your hand. Good. Now watch. You ready? You ready? Are you ready? If you sin, you could have victory. If you sin, you could have peace. If you sin, you could have joy. Why? By sinning? No! When you sin and you fall down, then just confess. God, I did it. It's in me. I don't want it in me. I want you. Please forgive me. Thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. You see? And you're just going to find, you're just hugging on Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. And then you're going to find, you hug me. Come on, Jesus, hug me. Two hands, Jesus, come on. There you go. Oh, I don't have to coach Jesus. Come on now. All right. And he's going to hug you with two hands. He's going to hug you with two hands. Do you get it? Are you getting this? Ah, Jesus. We just commit this into your hands right now. Lord, I'm just going to get on my knees. I don't know if anybody else wants to, but I'm just going to get on my knees and say, thank you, Jesus, for dying for me. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you provided the blood of Jesus for me to cover my sin. And when I come and I confess and I just lift up the blood of Jesus and said, I have no righteousness. There's no reason you should forgive me just because I ask. Because you don't. You forgive me when I bring you the blood of Jesus and say, I needed Jesus to die for me. And I'm saying, thank you, Jesus. I love you. Thank you for loving me first. Thank you for providing for me. Thank you for forgiving me. Thank you for caring for me. Thank you, Lord, for reaching out to me. Thank you for never giving up on me. Thank you, Jesus, that you provide for my forgiveness. And thank you that you give me the victory, the freedom, and the peace when I come and bring it to you. Now, Lord, I don't want this in me anymore. I only want you to live in me. So now come cleanse me. Come begin to work in my heart. Show me why I do what I do. The selfishness, the undisciplined life, the anger, the whatever it is. And Lord, I want to break agreement with that. And I don't want that in me. And I invite you to come remove that root, that seed, that sin out of me. Because I don't want it coming up in my life anymore. I only want Jesus and life and love and light living inside of me. And I just say, thank you, Jesus, that you make it possible through your blood. Thank you that I could know you so well. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Amen.
You know, in the Word, we were just in leadership. We were talking about true worship. Worship is what automatically happens when God shows up. When the presence of God fills a room, when the presence of God comes near you, you automatically worship Him. So we can't make worship happen. We have to do this God's way. First of all, the priests prepared the people at the gate, before they even got in the gate to the city of God. Before they even got in the gate, the priests prepared them by accepting their offerings and their confessions of their sins. Then the city of God, look at the gate like entering the kingdom of God, the realm of God. It says, enter His gates with thanksgiving and praise, and His courts with praise. So we're looking at it as though we want to come to God. We want to get closer to Him. First, we have to confess, and Harvey's helped us with that point today. But then just to get into the city, enter the gates with thanksgiving. God made it so easy because anyone can be thankful. We can be thankful for all that He's done for us. We can be thankful that we have eyes, we have feet. We live in a free country. We can thank Him for all kinds of things He's done. And then enter His court with praise. See, just getting in the gate is thankfulness. Then we begin to praise who He is and we get a little closer. We can praise Him for His goodness, for His mercy, for His truth. Praise God for all His character and who He is. And when we begin to praise Him, He begins to come closer. And when God gets real close, worship will automatically happen. When the glory of God filled the temple, the priests could no longer stand. They fell down. They fell down at the presence of God. So if we want the presence of God, let's enter His gates with thankfulness and His courts with praise now.